The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
My next guest took on quite the challenge last week. Daniel Vlajlak is from Gorey in County Wexford. And last week he climbed Mount Everest virtually using a Stairmaster. It's all to raise funds for a mental health charity. And Daniel joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning to tell us more. You're very welcome, Daniel.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No bother. I think people who hit the gym might be sucking their breath in right now at the thoughts of the dreaded Stairmaster. And before you tell us the whys of why you did this, can you just give us the stats? Like, how long were you on that Stairmaster? Like, what amount of steps did you do? Tell us that.
So it was an elevation gain of 8,848 meters, or the equivalent of 3,000 floors. So
wow.
It took me just under 14 hours, and it's 47,200 steps to be exact.
Wowzers. So 14 hours, a gradual elevation of 8,000 meters.
Well, the elevation doesn't change, unfortunately, because the steps keep coming at you. But yeah, it was quite a fast pace, faster than I would have liked it to be. But I wanted to do it within the one day,
okay,
and the time frame that I set out to do. So,
and is that the time frame you set out? Did you kind of reach what you wanted?
Yeah, I actually finished up about an hour earlier than I planned initially. So I was glad for that. But yeah, at one point I just wanted to get it over with. So I kind of sped up. But yeah.
Wow. And like, how do you feel about the Stairmaster when it comes to the gym? Is it a piece of machinery that you like usually?
I liked it before last Friday, to be honest. After that, I have a bit of PTSD every single time I go back into the gym now. And I don't fancy going back on it anytime soon.
No, don't. I think that would be a step too far. Pardon the pun. Tell us why you decided to do this. When did this idea come to you?
To be honest, I've thought about this question a lot because many people have asked it, and I don't know. It was just an idea that came into my head. I don't know how and I don't know when. Personally, I wanted to just test the power of my mind and prove to people that we can achieve a lot more than we think. And instead of placing limitations upon ourselves and living small, you know, I don't know how or why I ended up climbing on a set of stairs for 14 hours, but I believe certain things happen to us for a reason, and this is something that chose me. And as a result, I hope it inspires many others to set some difficult challenges and get after it in life.
And I suppose if you have an experience, for example, of maybe running outside versus running on a treadmill, climbing Mount Everest versus doing it on a Stairmaster must be incredibly different and quite boring, I'd say, in a way, is it?
It's very boring, yeah. I mean, you're looking at the same thing for the whole day. It has its pros and cons, of course. It's different, you know, because you're not dealing with altitude sickness and things like that. But yeah, no, it was definitely difficult.
And did you watch television or what did you do?
No. So in the beginning, it was just music and podcasts, but about 4 or 5 hours in, then it was just me and my own voice in my head fighting against myself to not give up.
Wow. And you actually say by ascending to the top of the world, you descended into the depths of your own. Explain that a little bit. It got very tough mentally.
Yeah. Right? So about 4 or 5 hours in, my body started screaming at me to stop because it had enough. It said to me, like, look, I get it. This is a tough workout you're doing, but like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then it was up to my mind, and it was every step that I was taking was just saying to myself, keep taking that next step, keep walking, keep going. And at one point, about seven or eight hours in, then it was just complete darkness. It was literally like as if I was in a meditation. I didn't feel my body at all, didn't feel my legs anymore. And I was just in this black void that I was trying to find a way out of. And the only way I knew how to was just to keep walking.
Wow. And was that a scary feeling or a very negative feeling? How would you describe
that? It was definitely
that?
A new feeling. I've never experienced something like that in my life before. I've done difficult things in the past, but not as bad as this. It was quite a liberating feeling, to be honest. It was almost like as if I had traveled back in time to my childhood. And it was quite a healing experience for me, and definitely something that I'm going to incorporate into my life going forward.
Okay. And what do you mean by that, incorporating it into your life going forward?
So I believe that everyone in life is going to suffer no matter what we do. Mm. Whether we choose our suffering or not is up to us. And I think it's much better to suffer physically but have mental clarity and peace instead rather than suffering mentally.
Okay.
And I think this challenge was a great metaphor for that because you're literally climbing. And I think too many people right now especially have put themselves into a negative place and a dark hole in their life, whether that's through their bad diet or lack of exercise or the way they speak to themselves. And I hope this inspires people to you know, like I said earlier, to get after, whether that's the Stairmaster or anything else. I think there's a lot that can be learned from just putting ourselves into uncomfortable situations.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you say as well on your Instagram, and we'll give people your handle there in a few minutes' time, that if you want to start something, just start it. Like, just go for a walk or go to the gym. And you really believe it's all about the starting.
It was, and it was. I learned that last week that every single time I took a little break to eat something and rest, that first step getting back on was the hardest because my body was saying, I don't want to get back on those stairs. Like, I'm really sick of you doing this. And it was once I took that first step, once I turned that machine back on, it just, the legs start going again. And it was, you know, overcoming that inertia is the most difficult thing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, you did this because you want to raise funds for Grow Mental Health. Tell us a little bit about that charity.
Yeah, a lot of people have asked me why that charity exactly. To be honest, I wanted to fundraise for someone that's a smaller organization, someone that is, you know, trying to make a difference but doesn't have the reach or the funds like some other organizations out there. And like I said, I don't know why exactly that one. It's just kind of, I just kind of picked it one day. I like the work they do. And they were very happy and very grateful for me to set out on this challenge. So I hope the money that I raised goes towards a great cause, you know.
Brilliant. Now, you talked about those lows and in a sense, there were some highs within those lows as well. But was there a particular high within that 13-hour virtual Mount Everest climb?
To be honest, there wasn't many highs. I'd say so. Yeah, the end was quite a, you know, it was. I was grateful and I was really relieved that it was over. Mm-hmm. Like I just wanted it to be done. And coming off after those 14 hours was just such a relief. And I knew that I could do it before I set out because I'm, you know, like I said, I know the power of my own mind. And once I set out to do something, I will do it. But I wasn't expecting it to be that hard. Kind of convincing myself and trying to be a little bit delusional, thinking that this is going to be a lot more achievable. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely glad that it was over.
How many hours were you into it when you realized this is much harder than I thought?
About seven or eight. Okay. That's when it got really bad.
Wow. So you were pretty far into it. Like you were on the home stretch, really.
About halfway. Yeah. It's a bit, but it's that moment when people tell you, look, you're halfway. All you have to do is what you've already done again. And then you're like,
it's like doing a loop.
Yeah, but that's another 7 hours, buddy.
Gosh. Now, are you on to the next challenge? Because I find when people do things like this, they give themselves a few days and then their mind starts wearing again of stuff they can do. Is that you, Daniel?
Yeah, so the first few days afterwards was pretty rough. The body was in shock. I couldn't even eat much food. I was just, my legs didn't work at all.
It's funny because I was going to ask you, what did you eat when you were done? Did you go and get pizza or takeout?
No.
But no, you couldn't.
No, I literally got home, got into my bed and I was just... felt like a truck had ran me over.
And like, what were you like the next day? Were you quite stiff and everything?
Yeah, the next day it felt like I was paralyzed from the hip, from the waist down for sure.
My gosh. So you are thinking of another challenge. Okay.
Yeah, so in the short term, I plan on doing a few crazy little ideas. I plan on doing 1,000 burpees. I plan on running.
That is the craziest idea I've ever... 1,000 burpees! What?
Yeah, why not?
Well, Yeah, burpees are my idea of hell. So I would rather stand on the Stairmaster than do 1,000 burpees. Wowzers.
So my idea is to do things that I really don't like doing to force myself into that uncomfortable situation.
Okay.
Another one is a 4-mile run every 4 hours for 48 hours.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay.
And the big plan right now is to run across Ireland.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. Okay. All right, let's forget about the burpees and maybe think about those other two challenges. You're also a podcaster, aren't you?
Yes, it's something that I do. I interview people from all walks of life that I believe have an incredible story to share. And then I hope that those who listen, it inspires them to, you know, live a better life and take some positive things out of it.
And how can people find that podcast? What's it called?
So it's called The Voice Pod. You can find it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts as well.
Okay, good stuff. And if people want to donate, you're still raising funds for Grow Mental Health. The website is idonate.ie. And if you search for Mount Everest Climb, you'll find Daniel there on his Stairmaster. We'll also send people to your Instagram, actually, Daniel, because you have videos up there of you in the middle of the Stairmaster challenge, and you are not lying when you say it's tough. You're actually so authentic in your honesty about how you're hard you're finding it. So if you search for Daniel, tell us your surname there again, Daniel.
So my Instagram is official Daniel Vlažlak. That's spelled Vlazlak.
Okay, so if you have a check for that, that is official Daniel Vlažlak, and that's Vlazlak. Daniel, congratulations. I'd say you're delighted that's over. And if you take any advice from me this morning, it's don't do that 1,000 burpee challenge. Do the run across Ireland. At least then you'll get to see stuff. Imagine just seeing the ground every time you do a burpee. Think on.
Yeah, well, I like to do is I tend to do the things people tell me not to do, so I'm definitely going to do both.
I scuppered that one. So, well, listen, congratulations. That is some feat. Will you give us those stats again for the Stairmaster? How many steps did you do? It took, what, 13, almost 14 hours?
So 47,200 steps, an elevation gain of 8,848 meters, which is the equivalent of Mount Everest. And a total of 13 hours and 56 minutes and 42 seconds.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, practically 14 hours. Well, look, if you want to see videos of Daniel in the midst of that Stairmaster feat, it is official Daniel Vlažlak, and that's Vlazlak. You'll also find that I Donate page on his link in his bio too. Daniel, I'll talk to you perhaps in the middle of that 1,000 burpees. Thanks a million for talking to me this morning.
Cheers, Orla. Have a great day. Thanks for having me on.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Across the southeast, it is Beat 102-103. That is Gracie Abrams and That's So True. We're going to head to Kilkenny City now because a gorgeous event is coming to St. Canice's. It is called The Museum of the Moon, and that's St. Canice's, of course, is St. Canice's Cathedral and Round Tower. It is an installation by artist Luke Jerram. It's happening from March the 10th for 3 weeks, with lots of side events happening because of it as well. And to explain more, the very Reverend Stephen Farrell, who's the Dean of St. Canice's Cathedral, joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning. That's a lovely title, Stephen.
Yeah, I know. I just tend to go by Stephen. I've been called much worse, but yeah, it is a mouthful.
And what do people say to you? Do they say hello, Reverend, or hello, Father? What do they say?
Stephen. It's generally Stephen, yeah.
Very good. What a gorgeous event and what a great idea. How did this all come about?
Look, we're really thrilled at the event. I mean, the cathedral, if people don't know it, it's vast. And it was started in 1205, finished in 1285. And it is just a really big space on the inside. And it's the kind of thing that makes you stop and think, how did they build it back then when they had no machines, they didn't have diggers, they didn't have scaffolding? And just to make the most of the fact that there is this huge cavernous space, which is impressive today, but 800 years ago, it must have just been mind-blowing to be in such a big space and it be inside. And what better way to do that than to take something that is equally impressive, but, you know, quite far away, and bring it down close, which is to have the moon. So if you don't, if people aren't familiar with the idea of the Museum of the Moon, and there's no reason why they would be, it is a 7-metre in diameter moon. It is going to hang from the central crossing of the cathedral, which is about 13 meters in height. So we're going to suspend it a few meters down. So it's going to come down to just not far above head level.
Okay.
And it's made out of the material that they make hot air balloons out of, which,
wow,
you know, I don't know. And it has on its surface NASA imagery. NASA done detailed flypast studies of the moon. So it is using NASA imagery of the actual lunar surface to recreate the moon in its full,
you know,
spherical glory. It's illuminated from the inside. It's accompanied by a soundtrack, an immersive sound experience that features little bits of the voiceovers from the lunar landing with interpretive music, and that's by a BAFTA award-winning artist. So yeah, I mean, we're thinking it's going to be a brilliantly immersive experience, the sort of thing that you don't really expect to see.
Exactly.
And we hope it takes people's breath away, that it inspires, that it just gives people a moment to pause, to look up, which is kind of what cathedrals are all about, to sort of to look up, to ponder, to, yeah, to get swept away in beauty and in just something that is really quite different.
And we're not doing a lot of looking up these days, are we? So
well,
be nice,
you know,
to get out
I
of
was
the phones.
Just thinking, well, it is. I mean, yeah, we spend too much of the time looking down. I walked into someone today in the high street because I was walking while texting, which is my own bad habit.
Yes.
But I mean, we're all looking out these nights to see the alignment of planets and such like. So if people miss that, or if they're like me and they were outside looking last night and can't tell what any of these things are, there is the moon coming inside.
Gorgeous.
And I mean, part of what we're hoping is people might just come and look at it, see it, sit down, take a while, look at, you know, there are going to be some drawing courses under it as well for the more artistically minded. Get a selfie, look at it, you know, sit and point to it with kids, learn something about it. But we're going to try and do some events under it as well, just to really throw open the doors of the cathedral.
Gorgeous.
It is always a good day when people come into the building that mightn't ordinarily come in, who maybe wouldn't be seen dead in a church. Well, maybe then, but not before then. So if we can get the doors open and people in, that's kind of our mission and ministry of welcome.
And if you look at your Instagram account, St. Canice's Cathedral Kilkenny, you'll see the moon there, and you'll see two little characters called Milo and Rua. And these are for when kids are coming to the exhibition as well.
Milo and Rua are our little mascots. We have Rua, who's a little red fox, and Milo, who is a badger monk, but they have retrained. They're no longer a knight and a monk. They've retrained as astronauts.
Oh, brilliant.
So yeah, if people come with their kids, there are certain things for kids to do, a little treasure trail to do around. But also we have some moon mischiefs, an interactive workshop with kids on a couple of days. There's some play under the moon for toddlers up to 4 years. We're trying to do as much stuff as possible to make this something that is accessible to people of all ages, from the youngest right up.
And is this an installation that travels different places?
It does. It's been in lots of different countries.
Okay.
The artist Luke Jerram has had it all over. He said that he had it in India last year, and 100,000 people turned up on the first night. Now, we're hoping that doesn't happen. We're not quite geared for that. But he had it in America a couple of years ago, where it got shot. Again, we're hoping that doesn't happen.
Someone shot it.
Okay. Somebody shot it. Yeah.
Okay. And was
we're
it damaged?
People might just. Well, he said because of the material it's made out of, it's designed for things to sort of pass through it and not cause problems.
He didn't expect a bullet, though.
No, he didn't expect a bullet. And yeah, I mean, the world we live in, it's an interesting place.
It is.
Yeah, we're hoping people might just, you know, shoot it with their cameras.
Yes. Yeah. It's just astounding to look at on your Instagram account. And like, did you contact him? Did he contact you? How does this happen?
We reached out to the artist. Again, we're always trying to do things that will get people into the cathedral. So we've just recently put on display a book from the Cathedral Archives that has the world's first recipe for whiskey in it, the Red Book of Ossory. That's a whole other thing that we could talk about sometime. But again, it's just we're always trying to see ways in which we can throw open the doors. The cathedral has quite a long history of holding concerts, of having art exhibitions, and just reaching out to the artists seemed like a good way to try to bring something else into the cathedral that might connect with the broader community outside of the church-going community here.
And talking of the music, you have lots of side events, some of which are sold out already, but one that just sounds absolutely gorgeous, and that's Moon Music. And it's an orchestral tribute to Coldplay, which will be at the cathedral. I think that is on March 28th.
Yeah, Friday the 28th. There are two shows that night, half past six and half past eight. Yeah, we're quite excited about that. An orchestra, a big grand piano, a singer under the moon doing a mixture of maybe, you know, quite more lively, some of it really chilled, just with that spectacle of the moon before you. And yeah, a tribute to Coldplay happening with those instrumentalists. I think that's going to be a good night. That is a date night right there, if anybody isn't sure what to do.
And you can have an early date if you want, if you've got two shows.
You can
shows,
have an early date. I'm sure there's all sorts of dinners in Kilkenny. It's a wash for restaurants. The next night, there is a concert pianist who's going to come, just one man and a concert grand piano under the moon playing sort of well-known classical pieces, and that's just going to be beautiful as well. There are
storytelling as well happening,
and we have storytelling for kids. Absolutely, we have some kind of creative play, messy church things happening for kids to come and explore the idea of the moon and their kind of place in the world through a mixture of crafts and different things like that. There is going to be a dinner and concert under the moon on the Saturday before, on the Sunday night before St. Patrick's Day on the 16th, which again, we're going to clear out all the furniture from the cathedral, set up tables for a gala dinner under the moon, which is just something totally different. For those who are into theatre, there is going to be a play called Nine Moons of a Go. That's a new play written for this. It's about Celtic mythology of the moon and folklore, talking about, you know, the sort of the ancient Irish views on the moon and brought right up to date. Sharon Shannon and guests are going to be under the moon in association with Tradfest. So yeah, it's going to be a busy old time.
Oh, it sounds just fabulous. If you want to get more details and if you want to book this as well, St. Canice's Cathedral.ie is the website, and that'll bring you to a link to the booking website as well. But as I said, to look at some of the astounding photos from that moon installation, it is St. Canice's Cathedral Kilkenny on Instagram and on Facebook as well, and that'll lead you to the link to the website too. Stephen, enjoy every minute. I have a funny feeling you're going to be a very busy man over the next few weeks.
Hoping so. Absolutely
great stuff. Brilliant. That is from March 10th. It is the Museum of the Moon, and it runs for 3 weeks, the exhibition does. And that is the very Reverend Stephen Farrell, Dean of St. Canice's Cathedral, a.k.a. Stephen. Stephen, thanks a million for joining me this morning.
Orla, thanks so much.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It's the Sunday Grill. It's Beat 102-103. And I'm sure you know this by now, but Goss.ie's 10th Annual Awards Show took place last Saturday night, so about 8 days ago now, at the Gossies 2025. There was a host of celebrities from Ireland and the UK. And if you love your reality and your influencers, well, you would have loved the pink carpet. And there was a Great Gatsby themed awards bash. I have to say, Rachel, I looked at an awful lot of our social media videos and I didn't really get anyone particularly, especially Katie Price, embracing the Great Gatsby theme.
Very few of them did. And I suppose last year's theme was Shakespeare, and no one really stuck to that either. I think a couple of people go hard or go home, and a couple of people just go, I want to wear a pretty dress.
Yeah. Some people wore feathers, which is quite Great Gatsby, I think.
Yeah, and a couple kind of did the whole kind of 1920s flapper girl.
Okay.
And others,
Katie Price just didn't. She went full on navel gazing. Didn't she?
Yeah. And I asked her and her partner, JJ, what's the story? What's the theme? And he said, I'm in Ireland, so I wore a green jacket.
Well done, JJ. I'm glad you could name him, because on all the clips when I open it, it says Katie Price and her fella. Rachel doesn't know his name.
I did my research.
He's insignificant. Tell me, you're a girl after my own heart and you love these sort of things for all the little rabbit holes you can get stuck into. Tell me about the goodie bag to start with.
Oh my God, the goodie bag. So I actually made a TikTok.
Did you get one?
I got two. Well, So when you went in, so we did the red carpet. Okay. Myself and Jesse here at Beat did the red carpet, did all the interviews, and then we got invited to go into the room, into the actual award ceremony.
Brilliant.
The dinner, the goodie bag.
So you had the food and everything?
Had the food.
Okay, we've lots to talk about. Let's start with the goodie bag then.
Okay, goodie bag. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So there's two goodie bags. One was sponsored by the makeup brand Catrice.
Nice.
There's a couple of bits in that. And then the second one, there was a Rituals, what are they called?
Like a pack?
Like a reed diffuser.
Oh, fab. Gorgeous.
Which I really enjoyed. There was a lint roller.
Nice.
Very random. Mm. A bottle of fake tan and a bottle of face tan from So Soo's Dripping Gold.
Okay, who sponsored the event? One of the sponsors. Yeah.
There was some skincare bits. There was a little travel mirror. And I think what everyone was looking forward to was a necklace by Fada Jewellery.
Wow.
And then there was a face mask and some lovely vouchers and discount codes for exclusive
brilliant
use of people who went to the event.
So that was the main goodie bag?
The main goodie bag.
And then there was a goodie bag number two?
Which was Catrice.
And that was Catrice?
That was sponsored by Catrice.
And what was in the Catrice one? Just a whole load of makeup?
So there was a primer, a bronzer, a lipstick, and there was a kind of a foundation.
Nice.
Like a Charlotte Tilbury dupe.
Wow. I love going home with stuff like that and then realising that's not in my shade. That won't suit me, but it's just the getting.
Sunday morning I woke up and my mother said, and I'll have that, and I'll have that, and I'll have that.
And then tell us about the food.
The food. Okay, the food was fab.
Okay.
Wine on the table, kind of. We were standing on the red carpet, or pink carpet rather, for so long. As soon as we took the heels off, sat down and saw bread and butter. Oh. I was like, this is great.
Brilliant.
It was gorgeous. Burrata, we had beef for main. It was stunning.
And did you expect to go and have the meal and sit and watch the ceremony?
So we had been told earlier in the week that we were invited for the whole thing.
Okay, lovely.
Which was lovely. And I suppose we were doing a bit of celeb spotting, mm-hmm. kind of people that we didn't catch on the pink carpet. So I suppose you were having like a little bit of bread and then you're going, oh my God, Mary Byrne is sitting at the table over next to us. And oh my God, Catherine Thomas is up there. And there was awards in between each of the meals. And then there was a gorgeous kind of jazz band and entertainment, there was dancers, it was a full spectacle.
Okay. Now, as usual it seems, when I talk to people about the Gossies every year, the big draw on the night was Katie Price.
Yes, this is her second time being a VIP guest.
Okay.
Last year, herself and JJ, who was on, you might know him from Married at First Sight UK.
Okay.
They actually debuted their relationship pink carpet.
Still with JJ?
Still with them.
Great.
And I chatted to her, she was so lovely. I suppose that's kind of the first big, big celebrity I've interviewed. She was mm-hmm. so lovely, really chatty, and was just full of crack.
This is what she had to say to Rachel.
Any rings in the future?
No, my family are pushing for it. Every time they see him, my family love him so much. They're like, well, we're going to say yes. When is it? When is it? Yeah. My dad loves it. This is the first healthy, healthy relationship I've ever been with. So laid back, kind, gentle.
I feel like it's the only way you can be when you're with someone like you, Janine.
What do you mean?
The energy and all that.
You mean I'm
we're like
a wild
horse? Yin to the yang, isn't it?
I don't know if it's my ADHD or whatever, but I am what I am. I am what I am.
She really gives good interview.
Absolutely.
I'm never nothing but entertained by Katie Price. You can think what you want of her, but wow, she is entertaining.
And she is exactly what you get on the tin. She is the same person, whether the camera is rolling or whether it isn't.
And then when you were in the ceremony, did you see her pottering around, or was she the type who was probably gone off back to the hotel and didn't go there?
Didn't actually. She was so... Obviously, we were kind of at the back.
Yes.
It was a big, long kind of room. We were towards the back and she was right up the front at kind of a VIP table. So we didn't see her. But we did see, I suppose, some of the Love Islanders and that who normally would be kind of kept away, just floating around at the bar, uh-huh. looking for the bathroom. Just very, very normal.
And one of them is Anton Daly.
Dan Luck.
Oh, Dan Luck. Dan Luck. Okay.
Yes, I had to Google the pronunciation.
Okay, and he, I'd have this written down as Anton Bum. Let's have a listen to this.
Brought your lovely mum with you. Does she still shave your bum?
Oh, feel like we're in the 21st century now, so we use Veet. However, you can't apply a Veet to yourself, can you? Someone needs to apply that. So she does apply the Veet, she does.
Okay, so you're going to have to give us a bit of background to this, Rachel. So when was Anton in Love Island?
So Anton was in Love Island, was it 2019.
A while ago.
If I'm correct in saying he was on the season with Maura Higgins, okay. Molly and Tommy.
Okay, I've never heard of him before.
He was one of the OG boys,
okay.
And then ended up with Abel Hassan, uh-huh. who was quite a famous father. And in his intro VT, at the start, he said, "I'm looking for a girl who'll shave my bum because my mom does it for me now."
Okay.
And it was kind of a running joke the whole way through. And then, I suppose, and when he got to the final, his mom came in to meet him and the girl he was with. She brought a razor. It was a whole kind of gag. Then this time last year, he did Love Island All-Stars, okay, was coupled up with Georgia Harrison. It was still a running gag. So as soon as I saw him come towards me on the pink carpet, I said, "I know exactly what I need to ask you."
And head over to our socials, over to Instagram. We have lots of lots of videos up from Rachel at the Gossies. And you should see his face when she says, "Do you still get your mum to shave your bum?" He has a moment of, "Ah!" It's quite brilliant.
He is quite fake tanned, isn't he?
Yes. Wow. As far as I know, he is now based in Dubai.
Okay, so maybe that is natural. Okay, I hope he's wearing the SPF. Lots of Southeast influencers there as well. You asked them the important questions. Lauren Whelan was talking about the fact that she lives in Dublin now, but you can never beat a Carlo chipper.
Carlo girl at heart. What do you miss from home when you're in Dublin?
But the chippers in Carlo, they're just so much better. The quality of food that you can get after a night out is so much better in Carlo.
Where was your go-to spot?
In Dublin, it's Babylon. I feel like people are going to like hate on me for that, but you get your food in like half a second. But in Carlo, it's Cafe Roma.
I'm going to remember that for the next time that I'm in Carlo, Cafe Roma. And then you were talking to Dev Skehan. The last time I saw her, she was on the Camino with Roz Purcell and lots of other influencers. She's always good crack, but she is from West Waterford, I think.
West Waterford, yes, born and reared.
So she's talking about the things that, another one who's living up in Dublin, so she's talking about the things that she misses from the southeast.
You are living in Dublin, but you are a Daisy girl at heart, like myself.
Yeah.
What about home do you miss when you're in Dublin?
Oh, the Copper Coast. When people are like, the Wild Atlantic Way is the best, it is great. But the Copper Coast is one of the best drives, all the beaches along that way. And Dune Bakery in Dungarvan, or the West Waterford Food Festival in Dungarvan. I love my food.
Oh, don't we all? It was presented by Eric Roberts.
Eric, yes.
Who's from County Donegal. And you might remember he was in Squid Games as well.
He was. On
stage. And there was lots of winners on the night. We haven't talked about them at all. The main winner being Rachel Gary, was that
Rachel
right?
Gary, yes, took home two awards for Influencer of the Year and Most Stylish Lady.
Okay, good stuff. And then loads of other awards, like Lisa McGowan won Newcomer of the Year. And then there was awards for things like Best TV Show, Bad Sisters, Best Celebrity Stylist was Rebecca Rose Quigley, Best Actor Cillian Murphy. I'm sure Cillian made it to the Gossies, did he?
Do you know what? The likes of Keane DeCrow and the director of NECAP, who both won awards, sent videos.
Oh, brilliant.
But there was no video from. I actually pulled a little prank. Jessie was tucking into her food, and when they announced Cillian Murphy, I went, "Oh my God, there he is!" And she was trying to pull out the phone to get a video of him as quick as she could, but nah.
No, Cillian.
He's too busy in Hollywood.
Any Nicola Coughlan who won Best Actress?
No.
No. And because of those videos, NECAP won Best Movie as well. Proper order. Now, did you have a favourite on the night that you talked to?
Orla.
Here she goes.
So I am a boy band girl at heart.
She is.
I was a One Direction lover, The Wanted, 5 Seconds of Summer.
She has a One Direction cutout.
So when I saw the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Nicky Byrne walking towards me, I didn't know if I was going to be able to string a sentence together.
Well, you did more than string a sentence together. You chatted to him for so long. You got on so well. Let's have a listen to some of what he told you.
Congratulations on your nomination tonight. You have broken into the podcasting world. How is that?
It's going really well. I'm loving it. Bit of time off from the lads at the moment. So hopefully we'll do something again. Maybe next year or the year after. We're not sure yet. But just to do it, to go back into being behind the mic, it's been really good. I'm loving the guests at the moment. They're being really open and honest and trusting of me, to be honest, so which is brilliant. And I'm genuinely a curious person, so I love that long form style interview. I'm really intrigued by people, their lives, their careers, how it started for people, where it's going.
You also and of course Nicky won Best Podcast on the night at the Gossies, but you also asked him, of course, the Boyzone documentary series has been huge in the last month, so of course, Nicky will know all those Boyzone boys. I think he's good friends with Ronan, actually. So you had to ask him, will there be a Westlife documentary?
I don't know. I'd hate to answer on behalf of the lads, but I don't know. You never say never. We're coming up to an anniversary soon, 26 years of touring. So you never know. I mean, I haven't seen the Boyzone documentary. I know you won't believe that. That is actually the truth. I've seen everything online. I've had Ronan in recently. I've had Louis in a couple of months back. You know, I know everyone so well. Louis still involved with Westlife. So, you know, I just hope the lads, I hope everybody enjoyed their time. That's the, life is short. And I hope, you know, from what I've seen, I hope the boys and lads regret nothing. And I hope Louis regrets nothing. Because we certainly don't, you know. And nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. And yeah, I just hope they, you know, they can all get on. I'd love them to tour again. I was a massive Boyzone fan. And I always say, without a Boyzone, there would have never been a Westlife.
That is true enough. That is Nicky Byrne, of course, from Westlife, celebrating 26 years of touring.
They're
this year.
Touring longer than I'm alive.
Wow. That's absolutely nuts. Emmy seems really nice.
So lovely. Aww. And was just full of chat. His wife was standing behind the camera giving him a thumbs up every now and again. And he's just, oh, Orla.
Oh, so I love him. Great night, Rachel.
I love him. I thoroughly enjoyed the night.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, between Katie Price and Nicky Byrne, you fulfilled all your interview dreams. Head over to our socials, as I said, to look at some of our videos. But over on our Beat 102 and 103 TikTok is where Rachel has her goodie bag. And it is a sight. Goodie bags, plural.
Plural.
And it is a sight to behold. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Orla.
That was our Rachel from Beat News at last week's Gossies.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It is Beat 102-103. It is a Sunday morning. Let's talk movies. And do you fancy going to see a buddy movie? I feel like it's a
buddy.
A buddy.
Buddy?
Buddy.
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 Anyway.
It's been a long time since we've seen a buddy movie. And now buddy. I'm questioning myself. Buddy. Anyway. Brian has reviewed a buddy movie for us. It's called One of Them Days, and not only are they buddies.
I'm not going crazy. That's not how you say that
you
word.
Say it then. You say
buddy.
It. Buddy. Buddy.
Why does this... Buddy.
Anyway, this is a female buddy movie. It's starring SZA and Kiki Palmer, who I love, I have to say, and Maude Apatow. And as I was saying earlier, if you love Euphoria, you will know Maude Apatow, and you're going to be thinking the word buddy all day now.
Yeah.
Blame Brian.
It's plain in my
that.
Head. Literally, yeah. It's just on repeat. It's like, am I? Is my whole life a lie?
Kiki and SZA are two friends who must scramble to find rent money after one of their boyfriends blows through. Will we have a listen? Let's do it. And then Brian is going to review it for us.
Review, because my buddy.
I'm sorry. I had to get a jump from Shamika, and then I had a checkpoint at Libre. I had to go all the way around. Don't forget, I have my interview at 4.
Why are you still trying to be in corporate? Do your own thing.
And what's that? Living paycheck to paycheck.
You got this, okay?
You been that girl.
Been that girl.
That my best friend. She a real bad
girl.
You know we getting a white.
A white person?
In a jungle.
I am right here.
If you guys ever want to have a girl's night.
A little Prosecco and pals.
Child, I saw one with a cat and a stroller.
Mama rules.
You paid the rent, right?
I did.
Hey, what?
You look real alopecious today.
Do you have the rent?
Your boyfriend took our rent money and dipped.
I invested in it.
This is our future.
If we don't get the rent money by 6, we're going to be on a curb with Fabian.
You want to buy my grandma's venture speaker?
And your grandma just died. She ain't even in the ground yet.
I'm going to go see this. I'm hoping this is one of those things that's in the cinema and then goes to streaming media really quickly.
Well, it's one of those things where I saw a special screening of it and I don't know if it's like how much of a release it's going to be, but okay. You know what? Like it's an interesting thing, Orla, right? Because okay. I was apprehensive about before I went in there, because my worry was there's a movie set in like downtown LA.
Yeah, you'd expect.
It's kind of like it's a female led movie, a female mm-hmm. comedy, and my worry was that I was just wasn't the target audience for it.
And I think you are the target audience for it.
Really?
Yeah, I just think it's a young kind of. Not even cool, fun kind of movie about two friends. I'm not going to say the B word because if I say buddy once more.
Oh, I didn't know what you were going to say there.
And Maude Apatow is in it. What's not to like?
I have a very big crush on Maude Apatow.
She's fab, isn't she?
So I didn't look up the cast list before I went in to see this.
Okay.
And I feel like...
You got a lovely surprise,
didn't you? Well, there was a couple of surprises in there. She's not the only surprise in the cast.
Okay.
And I don't know if I want to spoil it now and say who else is in it. I think it's worth saying.
Ah, no, say it. So how are you going
Cat to... Williams is in it.
And who's Cat Williams?
The comedian.
Oh, I don't know Cat Williams at all.
Oh, man. Cat Williams, very famous comedian.
Boy or
very
girl?
Funny. Boy.
Okay.
Boy, he's like probably a 60-year-old man. And he's in it. He's like a little kind of, he's a homeless man called Lucky. And he's just in it. And I was a big surprise to me because he's a big name that isn't in a lot of comedy movies anymore.
Okay.
So yeah, no, it was a fun movie. Like, so the screening I went to, there was only three people at it because it was like a special screening.
Okay.
And
was it in the southeast, or did you have to go to Dublin?
No, it was a limitless screening in Odeon. But
oh, lovely.
So there was only three of us there, and
does it deserve a bit more?
Well, I think it's the kind of movie that if you went with your friends, you'd actually have a fun time. I think it's a girls' night type film.
Yeah, I think
you would very much enjoy it. But I found that of all the people, every single person that was at that screen,
three,
I laughed way more than anybody else.
Okay.
Because let's be real, Orla, my style of comedy is silly comedy.
I love that.
And every time it just went dumb, I was like, yeah, that's great.
This is a bit of it.
Yeah, this is fun.
This is a bit of BG.
Yeah, and it's just like something happens and you're like, this is so dumb. And like, yeah.
I love this.
Yeah.
Look, I love a B movie, as in Buddy, but it's usually two men. I love this idea of two women.
Yeah, and like Kiki Palmer and SZA. Do you know what? Brilliant.
Brian, SZA is everywhere at the moment.
Yeah.
Going on tour with Kendrick, at the Super Bowl with Kendrick, winning a Grammy.
She's not like us really, is she?
There you go. Keane DeCrow has a part to play in her best R&B song, Grammy. You know, he wrote part of it, which I always find weird. Part written by. She's just like, she was always up and coming, but this is her year, I think.
I think she can only be beaten by Dwayne Johnson, honestly.
Is there a joke there that I...
There is a joke there.
What has The Rock got to do with
SZA?
Oh, well,
Rock
done.
Beats SZA.
There you go.
There you go. If you get a person called Paper, now that would be a movie I'd go see.
Could cut that out.
Hey, that's that. That's the joys of live radio, everybody.
All right. So we kind of know the clip tells us all that. One of their boyfriends runs off with the rent. They need to find $1,500.
Yeah.
They have a new white flatmate who is Maude Apatow.
Yeah, well, she's a new tenant down the way. She's not living with them now.
Okay.
Or come on, get it right.
She is very... Oh, yes, of course, she wouldn't be a flatmate, but a tenant from down the hallway.
Yeah.
And they're a little bit... She's definitely not on their level. And I just like the idea
Do you know what? It's the kind of movie where... Like, they have no rent money, and if they don't have the rent money by the end of the day, they're getting kicked out.
Very 1980s.
And the stakes get like that was the lowest the stakes were.
Okay.
By the end of it, it's like, let's not get killed.
Okay.
Like, it's just such a silly thing, and the way it's wrapped up is kind of like, it's like silly. I don't know. It's something that doesn't take itself too seriously either. Okay. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's nice.
Putting it?
I give it, do you know what, for what it is, I give it like a 8.
Okay, nice stuff.
Because I think it's one of those movies that, like, it's not, again, it's like comedies and stuff, it's never going to win any Oscars.
Yeah.
But I just feel like it's the kind of movie where it's an easy watch. I think it'll do numbers on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it is
Prime.
Going to Netflix?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm hoping.
I'm not making any promises, Orla. But I think on Prime or Netflix, it could do, just be one of those films, you're like, oh, we'll throw that on, we'll sit down. If we fall asleep and then you wake up and like, why are they getting chased by people with guns?
Well, if you want to see it in the cinema before it heads to streaming media, as we think it will, Friday is the day that it comes out here in Ireland, March the 7th. Now, before you go, 8 black puddings out of 10, by the way.
Yeah.
For One of Them Days, starring SZA and Kiki Palmer. Oscars tonight, live from 12 p.m. on RTE1. Will you be staying up? I think the answer will be...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question about it. I do it every year. And honestly, I love it.
Give us some prediction.
I think
I'm
going to have a great time. No, you see, it's an interesting thing. I feel like The Brutalist will win.
I do as well. And all I've heard is it's very long and quite bleak. But Oscars...
I physically couldn't bring myself to go see it.
And
it was between The Brutalist
happening.
And something else. It was like Brutalist and Bridget Jones, new Bridget Jones. And I was like, I can't go to The Brutalist when I know I could go to Bridget Jones.
Yeah.
And Bridget Jones is not nominated for Best Picture.
Of course not.
I would like to see Anora win it.
Yes.
I really liked Anora. And for what it is, it's like Sean Baker is a boundary-pushing... director.
Mm-hmm.
He's just been doing these indie projects that have been doing great. Like, he had one, was it Red Rocket a few years ago? Was that what it was called?
Okay, never heard
and,
of it.
And that was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And that, like, what he does is he gets actors and completely out of their comfort zone of what they're known as. like out of their typecast, and then everyone's like, why is that person in that? And then they gave the best acting performance of their career.
Brilliant.
And it's so real and it's so fun and so wholesome.
And are you looking forward to Conan being the presenter? Conan O'Brien?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's just
a great guy in general.
He really is. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to the fashion. That's what I love from the Oscars.
Couldn't care less.
As well. Love it.
Couldn't care. And obviously all the viral
moments that will be happening too. Kirsten Bell, of course, was singing at the SAG Awards, and she's had, what did we find out? 17 million views already of her version of Do You Want to Build a Snowman that went, Do You Want to Be an Actor?
I don't know how it's going to top the greatest moment from last year as a person. I'm just Ken.
Performed live. Oh, amazing.
By Ryan Gosling.
It was. I think I watched it 20 times.
I think I cried. It was like an outer body experience.
It was phenomenal. Yeah. Just so much fun. And to watch the audience sing along, it was brilliant.
And he went over to Emma Stone.
Yeah. Oh, it was great.
La La Land ends 20 minutes before the final ending as well.
Eight black puddings out of 10. Eight black puddings out of 10 for one of them days. The Oscars are from midnight tonight, but if you're like me, of course, there'll be, when you wake up on Monday morning, there'll be lots of stuff to watch on social and on television.
I'll text you every result as it happens.
You won't be
I'll ring you after and I'll give you a debrief on everything.
No thanks, bud. Thank you, Brian.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.